I have FOMO. You all remember what FOMO is? Fear of missing out. I have a fear of missing out that somebody else is doing something over there and I am going to miss out on it. I have a feeling that when people are gathered together and things are going on and everyone's excited about being together, that I'm not in there as well. I have FOMO. Some of you have FOMO. Anybody else have FOMO? Somebody else is doing somebody else somewhere. Yeah, yeah. And it's sometimes addictive and it sometimes makes no sense at all. FOMO. I'm Keith Harcom. I'm your lead pastor here. Glad to be back. And we have been going through our series, FOMO, Fear of Missing Out. And we've been talking about some of the things as followers of Jesus, as Christians, what we should have fear of missing out on. In our first week, we talked about having FOMO of prayer. And if you're a follower of Christ, that you can pray in so many different ways and feel connected to our Father. We talked about praying for people who are sick. We talked about praying to God and asking God to relieve you of your sin. And we asked about inviting one person, not one person who's fell out of love with God or fell out of love with the church. Last week, Pastor Kathy talked about how you didn't want to miss out. You don't want to have fear of missing out of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and it being like a peppermint patty. Yeah, yeah, I asked for my peppermint patty when I came here on Thursday. But we do want to have a fear of missing out on some of the things that God wants us to have. This week, I want you to have a fear of missing out on the impact of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, you might have heard different things said about spiritual gifts. You might have something already logged in your head about what that looks like to you or what others have done to you through the use of spiritual gifts. In Corinth, there was spiritual gifts being shown and being seen. And the people in Corinth who were excited, the new Christians in Corinth, and Corinth was an international city back when Paul wrote the scripture, and there was people coming in and coming out all the time as they went across Greece, and people would navigate across this place. It's a little like Orlando in Florida. Every different nation from every different country in the whole world is gathered to see the little guy with the ears, Mickey Mouse, right? Corinth was just like that. And Paul was kind of the de facto bishop, if you like, and they would write to him, "What should we know about the gifts?" And this is what I want you to have in your head as we go through our time together today. What are the spiritual gifts for? Or what should I feel when the spiritual gifts are around? Do I look like and sound like that person who has spiritual gifts? And the Corinthians were asking this question. I want you to have that question in your head right now. What do the spiritual gifts give to me? Or what should I feel like? Should I have FOMO of the impact of spiritual gifts? As a young adult, I first came across spiritual gifts. It's kind of the second time, actually, but this particular time, my ship was alongside in a place called Hull in East England. And when the ship was there, I was Navy. For those of you who don't know, I was in the Royal Navy for a while, and the ship pulled in there, and we were looking for a church. And I had these yellow pages when I was in the Navy, and I'd look on these yellow pages, and it would tell me somebody who could take me to church while I was in the port of Hull. So I looked through the pages, I gave him a call, and this guy, Jude, said he would love to take me to his church. In fact, I would love you to come because actually the Holy Spirit has been working in our congregation. I would love for you to experience this. Sounds great. I'd love to experience the Holy Spirit. Anybody else want to experience the Holy Spirit? Just checking. You know, that's why you're here and all that kind of thing. But yeah, so I wanted to experience the Holy Spirit. So we went to this church and it was, he said, it's a little different. Maybe not what you're used to. So okay. So we went to this church and I think they met in a school or something. And I was sitting there and after the sermon, which was a little odd, I didn't really connect with the pastor's sermon. But after the sermon, we had the time of ministry. And those that were gathered started to sing and pray and speak in other utterances and kind of bounce around a little. And after a while, the youth group came in and joined in as well. They joined in with us at this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he was, this guy that I'd gone with, Jude, he was speaking in tongues too. And I kind of stood there and prayed a little. And I was thankful that I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. After the service went on, we got together for fellowship and ate something. You know, we had lunch together. And we're driving back to the ship. And he was returning me back to where the ship was. And he said, Keith, I notice you didn't speak in tongues when the time came. I says, yeah, I don't believe I've had that gift given to me yet. And he says, well, then the Holy Spirit is not in your life. You're not a Christian yet. I said, I didn't know that was a requirement for me to speak in tongues. And we went back to the ship. He took me back to the ship, and I was thankful. I still wanted to get to know this guy. I wasn't that offended just yet, you know. He says, come on the ship. Come down to where I live and meet the people that I interact with. And so we went on the ship, and as you know, I wasn't on the top deck on the ship. I was on, like, three down, which means, like, nobody, right? So he came all the way down to the bowels of the ship. And he met the people that I lived with, my messmates. And as he was sitting there, he seen an opportunity for an evangelistic moment. And he said, does anyone mind if I put this video on? VHS back then, yeah. Anyone mind if I put this video on? It was a video, Jesus. I was like, no. He put the video on. The sailors were kind and generous and genuine with the guy. And, you know, he was only staying for a while. He left the ship and we went back to sea. And I got grief for weeks about this strange guy that I met in Hull. And I was a little mad. I was a little frustrated with my friend, Jude. I was a little frustrated, first off, because he'd implied that because I was not doing what he was doing, I wasn't following Jesus. I was frustrated that the things that he had, that I was kind of looking up to, and I did not have, he was saying I needed. Essentially, he was saying, you don't have, I do have, and therefore you are not. But that wasn't the only thing I was frustrated with. I was frustrated with the fact that he went in my living quarters, which I invited him to, which I'd spent months developing relationships with those people, trying to help them understand that Christians are just like normal people who love Jesus, and they'd been destroyed in one video, just like that. Hey, Keith, when's your friend with the video coming back? What are the gifts for? What are the spiritual gifts more? Are they meant for us to look up to those people and say, oh, I wish I was like her who could preach real well. I wish I was like him who can prophesy. I wish I was like her that had gifts of miracles. Do they make us feel lesser? Should I feel worse around myself? Should I say, oh no, I don't have the Holy Spirit like you do?
What are the spiritual gifts for? And should we have FOMO for not having the spiritual gifts? Susan read to us 1 Corinthians. And if you've got your Bibles with you today, open it to 1 Corinthians. It's the first letter of Corinthians, chapter 12. We're going to show the words for you on the screen too. If you're online today, open up another tab and read this with me. You might see something different. Paul talking to Corinth. Don't forget, they'd already asked him the question, what are we to do with spiritual gifts? Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, I don't want you to misunderstand this. So it's the first thing he said. I don't want you to misunderstand. They wrote to him and asked, hey, what's going on here? We see these things going on. What should we do about it? He says, I don't want you to be misunderstood. He goes on to say that the gifts come through the Spirit of God. Now, these words are here a lot. We'll see, hear them a lot. The gifts come through the Spirit of God. They won't curse Jesus. And you can only say them if you are saying, Jesus is Lord. That's what Paul says in Corinthians. You can only have these gifts except by the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. It's the first thing he started. He wanted to get that right out there. They're not separate. They're not a different denomination. They're not like some other club kind of thing. He says, no one can do these unless they're saying Jesus is Lord. Anybody confess Jesus is Lord today in the house? Not convinced. Anybody say Jesus is Lord in the house today? Amen. Yeah, yeah. Some of you saying it. Okay, we get it. Now, so Paul was very specific about what the gifts were for or where they come from. He says, I don't want you to be misunderstood. And verse 4, he goes on to say, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Now, we see these two words all the way through this chapter. Same God, same Spirit, same Lord. You see these two words all the way through the scripture. It's not a different God. It's not a different denomination. It's the same God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that helps you to do these gifts. He is the source. He is the absolute center of them all. And he says this all the way through the scriptures. He says this all the way through about the gifts. And then he goes on to say what the gifts are. And I've got them on a slide for you here so that you can see. And the first gifts we see in, later on as he gets down in the scripture, he says wise advice. And some of you have wise advice and they understand. The next one we have is for what Paul puts out is special knowledge. Special knowledge. How God is at work in that wise advice. It goes on to say that some of you have great faith. These are gifts. These are gifts. You have great faith. The next one is healing. You're a healer. Next one is perform miracles. A miracle worker. You're a prophet. And then finally, we have the last two, which make up what the Corinthians were talking about. Someone who speaks in an unknown language and someone who interprets the unknown language. They're the 9 gifts that are talked about in Corinthians. They're the ones that bring the most attention. They're the ones that get the most likes, if you like. These 9 gifts are the things that were showing up in Corinth. And the people gathered there wanted to know what it was and what their response was to these gifts. are we to look at these gifts and look at these people who had these gifts and say, huh, I wish I had that gift? Are we to compare and contrast and say, well, I'm a prophet, but you're a healer? Are we to say to ourselves, well, I don't feel welcome in that church because I don't have those gifts? Am I to feel lesser, like a second-tier Christian, because I don't have those gifts? Am I to feel like, well, I'm never going to talk to that guy ever again because of the way he made me feel? What are these gifts for? These look great. But what are they for, Paul? Tell us, help us to understand why we should have FOMO about the impact of spiritual gifts. Verse 7. I want you to read this. Look at it. Read it with me. Don't read it out loud, but read it in your Bibles, read it on your phone, whatever it is you're reading. And you'll know right away what these are for. Verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can what? Help each other. I did not feel helped, people. I did not feel encouraged. I did not feel wooed into the kingdom of God. I did not want to go back there and say, oh, I want to experience Jesus like I did there. I did not run back to this ship and say, hey, guess what? I really met with God today. No, don't go down there. Don't go there. I didn't feel that. Paul says the reasons for the gifts is that you help each other. Help each other. So when you see these nine gifts at work in the church, it's so that you help each other. The word there is sympero. The Greek word is sympero. It means gather together, bring together, be advantageous, good, better, beneficial for your life. Other verses in English say the common good. King James, bless his little heart, he says profit withal. Profit all. Everybody who is gathered, it's good for them. It's better for you. It is advantageous for your walk with Christ. It makes you feel good to be in the kingdom of God. And you see these gifts when you feel them. You feel good to be around people who have these gifts. How many of you have been around gifts and thought, like, I want to experience that again? Yeah. I seen all of the gifts last week. I went to Guatemala last week as a part of a mission team, One Ball, One Village. You'll hear more about them in the future. And their mission is to bring clean water to countries around the world who don't have access to them. My son and I were representatives from Palm Harbor, and we a team of us, 19 of us, went down to Guatemala last week. I've got a picture of the team here for you to see that. And these guys got together and implanted water systems in water filtration systems in Guatemala, in churches that are selected by locals to have clean water. The mission is to not only provide clean water, but it's free. They give it out free from their churches so that it might lead people to the living water. Yeah. It's a good mission, right? So these people, all 19 of us, all gathered together, and whilst we were there, we implanted these water systems. Six different churches. There's already 50-something systems in Guatemala. We implanted another one, six more, and whilst we were there, we did medical team, dental team, vision, and provided, you know, kids program, those kind of things, ministered to the mothers there. I did a lot of praying for people in Guatemala. I got a picture of the system being built. You'll see Max here. Max is on the left, just building a system together in the last church we were at. And then the final system is just opposite him, and we got a picture of that for you too. We installed these systems all around Guatemala, six different systems. Now, at the final church that we were at, this is the final church that we were at, we've seen all of the gifts of the Spirit. People were encouraged to be around the gifts of the Spirit. Of course, there was medical. Of course, there was people prophesying. And the last moment while we were praying around the system, we dedicated the system to God. We dedicated the system to the people in that community. And the pastors were there, and the district area pastors were there. And they started to pray for us, and we started to pray for them. And all of us felt the presence of the Holy Spirit whilst we were there. And all of the gifts were present. Wise knowledge, interpretation of knowledge. Miracles were being done with medical teams. The locals were providing medical and dental, and lots of teeth getting pulled. There was people finally getting to see, never worn glasses before, now got to see. We've seen people encouraged through being prayed for. We've seen healing. We've seen people prophesying or saying the word of God. And everybody gathered there, all from different places. Some of those people are watching online. We have some people here today with us from that team. All of the people there did not say to each other afterwards, "I wish I had that gift." Nobody said, "Oh, I feel less because I don't have the Holy Spirit like he did. I'll never go to that church ever again because I just felt awful." Nobody said that. Nobody made fun of me for these particular people in my life. Everybody who was gathered there experienced the Holy Spirit like they'd never before. Experienced God like they'd never experienced him before. And these outpourings, these gifts, manifested as a wooing, as a gathering. It was advantageous to be there. It was encouraging to know that there were other people praying too. It was wonderful to be in the presence of those people. And different people spoke in different tongues. I don't know whether it was Guatemalan or Spanish or local dialect. I don't know, but it just felt wonderful. And each of us, from our different backgrounds, from different countries, from different walks of life, was encouraged, was enlightened. It was advantageous for us to be there. It was a joy to be around the gifts of the Spirit. I didn't feel lesser. I didn't feel bad about myself. I didn't feel like a second-tier Christian because I didn't have the gifts like they did. In Ephesians 4:7, he talks about these things elsewhere. In Ephesians 4, verse 7, he says, "However," same Paul writing to Ephesus, "however, he has given each one of us a special gift through what? The generosity of Christ." Elsewhere, the grace of Christ. Just like I said to my friend Judah, I haven't received that yet. I haven't got that. It's through the grace of Christ that we experience these gifts. Earlier in my life, people would say, "Oh, you got to get this. You got to get this." No, the scripture says through the grace of Christ, through the generosity of Christ. And there's always more generosity of Christ, amen? Always more of God's grace to understand. Always more of the Holy Spirit to be poured out in your life. He talks about these gifts elsewhere too. And it's in our scripture, ready for us to understand. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, where he was talking about gifts as well, he says this: In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy or do miracles or do things that are serving others, encouragement, giving generously, leadership, showing kindness. If God has given you the ability for that, he says, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. In other places, speak boldly. Boldly what God has given you. Use your gift wisely. We're going to put the 9 gifts back on the screen as a way to acknowledge these in your own life. These gifts aren't here to make you feel lesser, make you feel like a second-tier Christian, to make you feel like those people have got it and you haven't. These gifts are what? For the common good. So today, I want you to look at these. I don't know, take a picture, text it to yourself. Some of these gifts you've experienced, some of these gifts you have. The team that went out there of One by One Village, they, especially the Americans, have wise advice and special knowledge. What is it that you have? There's 9 there. Notice the last 2 are more than 20% of the 9 that he's listed. So it's not the gift. Which one of these gifts are yours? Which one of these gifts has God given you through his grace? Amplify it. Write it down. Text it to yourself. And say, thank you, God, for giving me this gift. And as a tester, when you're using that gift, as a tester, say to yourself, is this for the common good? Do people feel better in their walk for life, in following Christ? Is it advantageous for them? Is it for the common good? Write it down and text it to yourself today. So if you have wise advice, special knowledge, great faith, if you're a healer, a miracle worker, prophet, spiritual discerner, you have different languages, you speak in different tongues or can discern them, do them boldly. Do them boldly and do them so that other people will feel comfort, that other people would feel advantageous around you. And do this in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and do it by saying, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus, say it with me. Jesus is Lord. Holy and gracious God, we come before you today knowing that we can't do any of these gifts without your power. We know that it's through your Spirit that we are able to use these gifts. We know that it's through proclaiming that you are Lord that we can do these gifts. We know that it's through the providence of our Father that we can do these things. When we pray, Lord, when we practice them, that others would feel a joy, would feel comfort, would know the presence of your Holy Spirit. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name, and all of God's people said,